Well, our God doesn't change and his heart doesn't change, and he is a God of order. And so today I want to use the old tabernacle as a way of giving you a visual of our new covenant, our new tabernacle way of living. And the tabernacle was used as a way back then to access God. And thankfully, we're able to access God now without having to go to a tabernacle. We don't have to come to church in order to access God. We can access God wherever we are. We're actually living tabernacles. We're living temples. But today I just want to get a little bit into that, because I believe that if we begin to comprehend the order in which people accessed God, then we are going to see God move in mighty ways. We're going to see the miraculous happen, because when you honor God and you glorify him and you respect him, that's when he blesses your obedience. And so I want to talk about that today a little bit. And we start with the gate, right? You see the gate? And Psalms 104 says, to enter the gates with thanksgiving in your hearts and enter his courts with praise. So we enter in, we enter in with praise. You know, we have worship, we praise, we worship him and everything for how good he is. And if we turn to John 10:9, John 10:9 says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. If we go a little further to chapter 14 of John, verse 6, says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there was only one entrance to the tabernacle. There was only one gate. And we had to enter with praise and thanksgiving. And then there was only one way that you could, you know, there was only one way that you could get through, and that was through Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. That's the only way that we are able to access God, is if we go through him. So there's no coincidence after reading those verses that there's only one way. Amen. The gate is where people praised. It was where everyone waited to get in. Imagine waiting outside a church so that you could bring your offerings, so you could bring your sacrifice, so you could praise. Imagine waiting outside in the heat, in the cold, in the rain, in the snow, no matter what. Imagine having to wait outside in order to be able to get in right standing with God. In order to access God, you had to go through all of these elements. Thank God we don't have to anymore, right? And once you got through the gate, you were in the outer courtyard. And the first thing that you would see was the altar of sacrifice. This outer court is where the priests interacted with the people. They'd inspect their offerings. They'd perform sacrifices. In this area, you'd find the sounds of animals being slaughtered, the smells of blood, animals being burned. You'd hear the cries of people crying out mercy. You'd hear the sounds of praise. This is your Old Testament worship service, a place of praise and sacrifice. Thank God we don't have to go through this process, right? Because I'd say about like 98% of us probably couldn't raise an animal, let alone a prized animal to save ourselves, right? I think maybe Lindsay, David, who else has some like animal raising? They're out looking for a ranch right now, so pray for them. Jesus going to the cross for us, however, it doesn't get us off of the hook. He didn't just die on the cross for you so that you wouldn't go to hell. He went to the cross for you so that you could know him. He went to the cross for you so that you could commune with him. He went to the cross for you so that you could experience his resurrecting power in your life. And the next part we go to is the brazen laver. Bronze hand mirrors were melted down in the construction of this basin. It was filled with water, and this is where the priests would wash themselves before they'd go out and perform the ministry. It gave them a time to stop, to pause, and to reflect. And when you look down into it, you see your dirty self. But then as you wash in it, you see yourself clean. This is where we get the sermon part of the message, or the part of the service, I should say. This is where you receive the washing of the word. When we receive the word, it gives us a time to pause, to stop and reflect. How does my life line up with what the pastor is preaching about today? How does my life line up with what I'm reading today? It gives you a time to pause and reflect. How many of the gifts or fruits of the Spirit am I reflecting in my life? Am I loving my neighbor as myself? All these different things, it makes you pause, it makes you stop, it makes you think. And the more that you wash in the word and the more that you receive it, the cleaner you become and the more that you become like Jesus. This is where you get cleansed. This is where you're changed. It brings revelation. And Pastor took us through praise and he took us through fasting. And fasting is a form of sacrifice. And praise prepares us for submission. That's why we praise many times. You had a praise to get in. We praise before we receive the word. So praise, it prepares us for submission. And sacrifice prepares us to receive the word. Sacrifice prepares us to receive the word, the washing of the word. So no wonder when we receive so much more when we sacrifice. No wonder when you fast, you tend to hear God more, right? You tend to hear things. You tend to listen more to his voice because you're sacrificing. You're taking that time to give to him, not only to not eat, but also to spend time with him, right? Because fasting is not just about not eating. Fasting is also about using that time to just get closer to him, to listen to him, to receive from him, to die to self in order to receive more of him. And the next part of the tabernacle is where I want to focus today. It's where I believe if we change the way that we look at it and we begin to spend more time here is when we're going to see the power of God manifested not only in our lives, not only in our church, but in our community and the world around us. And it's the holy place. For the sake of time today, we're not going to get into the holiest of holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, which you see at the top there. Maybe I'll speak on that another day or something. But we're going to focus today on the holy place. The holy place was an indoor tented area, part of the tabernacle. And this is where only priests had access to. And yes, I keep mentioning priests, and you may be thinking, well, I'm not a priest, and so that disqualifies me from being able to go into this place to access God. If we turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So think again. You're a priest. You're a priest. You were chosen. You were chosen to minister. And we already know, right? Pastor says it plenty of times that to minister and to be in ministry is to what? To serve. So before you could enter into the holy place, there was a door. Have you ever been in worship and, you know, you're singing the songs and you're clapping, you're lifting your hands, and then all of a sudden things change. All of a sudden you feel something different. All of a sudden you sense the Spirit of God when you open yourself up to Him. This happens when you submit yourself to Him and when you open the door. Revelations 3:20. We turn there. Revelations 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." So this brings us to the holy place where the tabernacle, of the tabernacle, where the table of showbread and the golden lampstand were. This was a place of communion, a place where the Holy Spirit moved, a place where God spoke. The table of showbread, this is the table that had wine and bread for the priests to partake in communion. And Jesus left us, priests, instructions regarding communion. So this is something that we very much still have to do today, right? It was a New Testament thing where he says to do this in remembrance of me. It wasn't just partake of it in the old covenant, the Old Testament. This was in the New Covenant, the New Testament. He left us these instructions in 1 Corinthians 11:24. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians 11:24. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And notice he didn't say weekly, he didn't say monthly, he didn't say special occasionally. You know, we remember our anniversaries annually, right? But that doesn't mean that we don't have to work at the relationship of marriage daily, right? We celebrate the freedom that we have in this country annually, but that doesn't mean that we do not live in the freedoms every day. It's something that has to happen every day. Communion is ongoing. He wants to have that intimacy with us. He wants us to remember that he was broken for us and that his blood was shed for us every single day. He wants us to remember that, because when you take the time to remember that, you live a little differently. I truly believe that if we begin to live our daily lives in remembrance of him, and we find time to enter into the holy place, more and more powerful things are going to happen. We turn to Isaiah 53:5. It says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." This is a verse that we should probably take the time to read or post or something somewhere for us to see every single day. Because when we remember these things, we walk in a different confidence. We walk in a different assurance. This scripture helps us to remember that our transgressions, which are sin, are not held against us. It helps us to remember that our iniquities is our heart's tendencies towards a certain sin. So this is where you enter in these generational curses that people, you know, say, well, it's been passed down and it's been passed down and it's been passed down. Those are iniquities. Alcoholism, pornography, gluttony, addiction, adultery. They've been healed by his bruises and his beatings. So you no longer have to say, well, I'm like this because my dad was like this and my grandpa was like this and my great-grandpa was like this. No, he was bruised and he was beaten so that you do not have to be a slave to those iniquities. It also helps you to remember that he bore the punishment to bring peace from our anxieties, our fear. It reminds us that our illnesses are healed by his wounds. And so there's many times, right, that we pray that. We always know, like, when you want to pray for healing, you make sure that you say, and by his stripes, we are healed. But do you pray with that power behind that? Like, it's already done. The beatings were already there. The stripes already happened. Do you just say it out of, because it's the scripture that you know that you can recite? Or do you believe it? When we commune with God, an exchange takes place. And so he takes all of these things. He takes your transgressions. He takes your iniquities. He takes your fear. He takes your illnesses. He takes all these things and he exchanges it for more of him. He exchanges it for more of his spirit. He exchanges it for life. An exchange takes place, but you have to commune in order for that exchange to take place. Are you communing with him? How often do you commune with him? And I'm not saying that you need to go out and buy, you know, bread and wine or grape juice or whatever and take part of it every day. But if you need to like help yourself remember, then maybe you have to. I wouldn't necessarily say the wine part, but if you have to, then do that. But I'm not talking about bread and wine here. I'm not talking about bread and grape juice. I'm talking about true communion and intimacy with God, remembering that he was broken and beaten for you and being able to take the life that comes with that. Now we're going to head right over to the golden lampstand. The construction of this piece was pretty awesome, reading about this and studying it. I'm only going to touch on two parts of it today. And there's the 9 segments of the lampstand branches and the 7 lampstands. And the 9 segments are represented by Galatians 5, 22-23. Galatians 5, 22-23 reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruits of the Spirit. And then there were seven lamps on the stand that represent each spirit of God that is mentioned in the Bible. There's one, the Spirit of God. Two, the Spirit of wisdom. Three, the Spirit of understanding. Four, the Spirit of might or strength, you may call it. Five, the Spirit of knowledge. Six, the Spirit of fear. I'm missing one. What's the other one, Victoria? I'm drawing a blank right now because I'm nervous, but if I think of it by the end, I'll say it out. But there's the seven spirits of God. But don't confuse this lampstand as a candlestick holder. It was not a candlestick holder. In fact, candles were not used at all because candles burn out. Candles get thrown away when they're finished. And God's Spirit doesn't. So oil was used, and oil, olive oil, it represents His Spirit. It was used and constantly being refilled to ensure that it always burned. It never burned out. So the Spirit of God that lives within you, the Spirit of God that leads you into all truths, it never runs out. It is always there to lead you and guide you through your life. It is always there at your access in order to do what you need to do for God. These are the parts of the Holy Spirit that we receive and we experience when we commune with Him. And the more room that is made for His Spirit to move, you will see His Spirit move. This is what we need more of in our lives, in our church, in our community. If we can grab onto the importance of making time for Him, that's when we're going to see a move. That's when we're going to see the miraculous. That's when we're going to see true change. Transformation. We go to the next part of the tabernacle, the altar of incense. This is where God promised to speak with His people. This is where the angel Gabriel met with Zacharias, which is John the Baptist's dad, and he told him that his son would be the prophet to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. This place, the altar of incense, represented the burning, passionate prayers of the people of God. Psalms 141:2 says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense." We need more prayer and intercession that is burning. Not just prayer that is just being thrown out on the table. "Lord, I need this. Lord, I want some of this. Lord, can you just do this for me this one time?" He doesn't want these prayer requests just being thrown out on the table. He wants burning prayers that are going to burn, that are going to be reached in the heavens, that are going to go through the ceiling. So many times people say, I pray and I feel like they're not going past the ceiling. Well, you need to burn in prayer. Make your prayer burning with scripture behind it, with power behind it, with the Spirit of God behind it. Do you weep with the people that you're praying for? Or are you just upset because pastor called for an altar call and it's going longer than usual and you're just wanting it to be done already? We need to have a burning inside of us. That if there's somebody at the altar, then they need a move from God. And if a move from God happens, it's going to continue to happen, and we're going to continue to see it happen. And who are you to want an altar call to stop because you want to go have lunch already? This isn't about us. This place, these four walls, is not about us. It is about God. It is about ministering to God, spending time with Him, worshiping Him. But so many times we get up here and we want, okay, gimme, 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 gimme. No, it's about giving to Him. And you know what? Our God is good. He likes to give too. But will we honor Him? Will we put these things in order in our lives? Will we put these things in order to allow Him to move? When we begin to put these things in order, it gets us out of the way and allows God to move. So today, in closing, I encourage you to just reflect. How are you accessing God? Are you even accessing Him? Are you just coming? Because, you know, there is a disclaimer. There's a disclaimer on this. You can't just come to church and try to piggyback off of somebody else's relationship. You want your prayers answered, but you want somebody with a better relationship with God to pray for you, because then maybe the prayer will happen because they're spiritual, their relationship, their faith is strong, so I want them to pray for me. No. You got to go through the order. You have to go through Jesus, the gate. But you enter with that praise. Thank you, Lord. Even though my circumstances are this, I get to come today and I get to praise and I get to worship you because you're still God. You're still on the throne and I get to worship you. Amen. You know, so many times we jump into our prayers, and so we jump into our prayer requests. So we want to go to the holy place and we want to access God and we want to hear from Him, but we want to jump straight there. We don't want to go through the process of praising Him and thanking Him before we get on our kids all the time. Okay, you're just wanting and asking and asking and asking, but did you do your chores? Did you do all these things? And so there's a process, right? And so you know when your kids want something, they start doing things that they want. Well, God wants to commune with us. God wants order in His church. He wants people to know Him. And in that sense, you have a visual today. Are you going through Jesus, the gate? Are you sacrificing yourself for Him? Living a living sacrifice? Are you living as a living sacrifice? Are you putting those things aside? Are you putting your phone down during church, during worship? Are you putting it down and sacrificing for Him? Are you answering the door when He knocks? Are you communing with Him? Are you making time for Him? Are you making time for that intimacy? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to move in you and through you? Are you praying burning prayers? Not just simple ritualistic prayers. Are you praying burning prayers? So I encourage you to think about that today. Remember, there is a disclaimer. And when we begin to understand that, and we all get it right, because the more you commune with Him, the faster you get into the holy place. Because you know to thank him. You know to sacrifice for him. You know to answer that door, and so you get there. And when everybody is entering into the holy place, we're going to see things happen. We're going to see things happen. So I encourage you, as going forward, that you look at things differently, that when you come into church and you're looking for a parking space, that the praise already starts, and that you know that as you walk through that door, the gate, that your sacrifice, you put down your phone, put down the fears and thoughts and everything of the week. Put it aside. Sacrifice this time when you're here and give it all to him. And when he knocks, answer the door. Don't put your hands down because you're afraid it's getting uncomfortable. Test him. He will come through. He will speak to you. His spirit will move. And that's exactly what we need. We need more of in our lives. We need more of in this church. We need more of in our community. And when we do that, we're going to see him move. Amen.